RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites cooperative community re-energize the spirit of cooperative movement. In 2018, development at the border to focus on social infrastructure. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites cooperative community re-energize the spirit of cooperative movement. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites all cooperative to re-inflame the spirit of the cooperative movement on the commemoration of the 70th National Cooperative Day in 2017. President Joko Widodo will put the cooperative as one of the important people's economic institution in facing the challenges of the future. It was conveyed by President Joko Widodo at the peak of the 70th National Cooperative Day in Karebosi Square, Makassar, South Sulawesi, on Wednesday, 12th of July. The President reminded that the National Cooperative Activators are not afraid to compete with other economic actors. The strong and independent cooperative believe to be able to compete with large corporation and state-owned enterprises. The spirit makes the cooperative as a common strength, and mutual cooperation will be able to compete and quickly adapt to the times.
Oleh sebab itu, pada hari kooperasi yang ke-70 ini, di tahun 2017,
on the 70th Cooperative Day 2017, I would like to invite all cooperative actors in Indonesia to reaffirm, to reinvigorate the spirit of the cooperative movement, the spirit of the cooperative reform, so that with the rapid global changes we can follow. The cooperative then will also be able to compete with private companies, corporation, and state-owned enterprises, because the opportunity is on our eyes. In its development, President Joko Widodo appreciated the number of Indonesian cooperatives that could serve as a model for other cooperatives in developing their businesses activities. The President hopes in the future, the contribution of cooperatives to the Indonesian economy can be improved following the progress of some foreign countries. The contribution of cooperative to the Indonesia's gross domestic product is 3.99. In 2018, development in the border areas will focus on social infrastructure, which include the construction of community health centers, traditional markets, and school buildings. This was stated by Minister of Home Affairs Cahyo Kumolo while attending the coordination meeting of Border Management Control of the country in 2017 in Jakarta on Wednesday, 12 July 2017. Development of social infrastructure covers 187 border districts. If Ministry of Communication and Informatics has already completed its rooming, all right, how are the assistant, health center, traditional markets, and primary schools? So there is an increase in welfare. Minister Cahyokumolo added that the development of social infrastructure in the border region in 2018 is also followed by strengthening the defense sector. Meanwhile, the development of economic infrastructure by the relevant ministries in the border region is now almost completed with 99% achievement. Minister Cahyokumolo views that the government is targeting various economic and social infrastructure developments in the border region as the implementation of the national strategic program that can run on time. Sanur develops to be one of the favorite destinations in Bali. The tourism destination is projected to be an object with an upper-middle market share. Chairman of the Sanur Development Foundation, Ida Bagus Gede Siddhartha Putra, told RRI in Sanur on Wednesday, 12 July 2017, that Denpasar Mayor Ida Bagus Rai Dharma Wijaya Mantra has issued a regulation on sanitary development zonation. The regulation is the corridor of investors in building tourism accommodation in Sanur. Finally, mayor regulation is issued. There are zoning and criteria about development. Take for example, zone 1 is 30 meters square. The height of building must be 3 floors and every zone must have 1-3. The building coefficient base is only 40%. The rule has already issued. So we keep controlling it through the people. Ida Bagus Gede Siddhartha Putra admitted that some investors have tried to misapply the rule. This is evident from the construction of several hotels in Sanur, which ignore the Mayor's Regulation No. 6, 2016 on the zoning of the strategic area of Sanur. He hopes that the public will play an active role in reporting tourist accommodation in Sanur that is inappropriate with the rules. The reporting will be submitted to the Denpasar City government, so this can be followed up in accordance with to the applicable regulation. The Indonesian Weekend to be held at Portersfield Park, London, England on July 22nd and 23rd, 2017. The event, which aims to introduce Indonesia's tourism, cultural and culinary destination, was held for the first time in 2016 and successfully attracted more than 30,000 visitors from 50 countries. This year's second Indonesian weekend will show the warm atmosphere of Indonesia with theme of a beach party. Director of Heritage and Cultural Diplomacy, Directorate General of Cultural at Ministry of Education and Culture, Najamuddin Ramli, at the press conference held on Wednesday, July 12, explained that Indonesian Weekend is intended to introduce the Indonesian culture to not only British society but also foreign citizens visiting the United Kingdom. With regard to our cultural diplomacy with Great Britain, Indonesia is already very popular, but this Indonesian weekend is intended for the neighboring countries in the United Kingdom so they can learn about Indonesian culture. Najamuddin Ramli further explained Pencak Silat Indonesia will be presented at the event. In addition, there are also demonstration to cook Indonesian food such as rendang, soto Betawi and gado-gado. The music of angklung, the traditional game of gasing, mask dance and jaipong dance will enliven the Indonesian weekend, which will lay out the ironic building of the Tower Bridge. The tattoo artist Ken will showcase his skills in lifting Dayak and Mentawai motifs. On the same occasion, the Assistant Deputy of European, Middle Eastern, American and African Market Development, Ministry of Tourism, Nia Niscaya explained British tourist arrival to Indonesia are the highest compared to the other European countries. This year, the Ministry of Tourism targets a visit of 380,000 British tourists to Indonesia in 3 to 4 months. There have been already 150,000 British tourists visit. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that the country's economic growth is sound and hence is worth boasting. Minister Darmin Nasution pointed out that the improvement in growth could be visible by evaluating the indicators of inflation, poverty rate, gap, and unemployment rate. The minister said the rate of inflation had improved as compared to 4 or 5 years ago, while poverty had consistently been elevated in the past decade, according to the minister. The gap has been improving again the past 2 years after declining in the past 10 years due to the 1998 crisis that led to the utilization of natural resources, such as mining and plantation, worsening the Gini ratio. He expressed confidence that economic growth in the past 10 years would be sustained since the government has formulated just economic policies to streamline those in effect so far. ASEAN will need to invest 1% of its gross domestic product, GDP, annually into renewable energy capacity to reach its 23% target. Manager of ASEAN Plan of Action for Energy Program ASEAN Center for Energy, Christopher Zamora, said during a discussion on investing in ASEAN's renewable energy resources in Jakarta on Wednesday that $7.5 billion per year must be invested in solar PV and $6.3 billion in hydropower. He pointed out that increased investment in renewable energy is one of the key to sustainable growth in ASEAN. According to Christopher Zamora, individual country market that becomes regional can also potentially reduce costs. In recent times, foreign direct investment, FDI, is one of the channels of economic openness that can stimulate the investment cost reduction. And the last item, the Surabaya City Administration is exploring cooperation with the Turkish government in economic and construction sectors. Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Hari Ini said during a meeting with Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia, MK Sander Gerbes, in Surabaya on Wednesday. One of the cooperation that will be built by both parties is the economic sector. According to the mayor, President Joko Widodo had earlier stated during a visit to Turkey that there would be a free trade zone area that would facilitate both countries. The mayor noted that the cooperation will accelerate the distribution of goods from Turkey to Surabaya and vice versa, which is better because the distribution line does not need to stop in Singapore but directly lead to the city. Meanwhile, the Turkish ambassador remarked that Surabaya could play an important role in the economic sector because the seaport has international standard in service and facilities. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Our commentary today entitled Indonesia Plans to Have a New State Capital. The plan to move Indonesian capital city is no longer a mere discourse. At least this is reflected in the statement issued by Minister of National Development Planning or Head of National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, on Wednesday. He said the process of moving the city's center of government as well as capital city of the country can begin in 2018, after the review of the removal is completed by the end of 2017. Although the minister did not mention the location of new capital of the country, widely disclosed that the movement will be out of Java, namely to the city of Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. In general, Indonesian people themselves are not so concerned with the planned movement. Moreover, the intention is meant for better spatial management, reducing the burden of Jakarta as well as efficiency and effectiveness of equitable development. This has actually been a thought or a discourse for a long time in the era of first president of Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno. Is this just following the world's trend? Some countries are known to have separated the city center of government from the economic center. Like Indonesia's neighboring country, Malaysia, it has Putrajaya, which has been built in moderate ways since 1995. The transfer of all government offices from Kuala Lumpur and the construction of housing for employees to Putrajaya took place from 2000 to 2005. On various occasions, Malaysia's state officials said that at least the removal of the central government could improve the productivity performance of state apparatus. Although initially there were some opposing parties, remembering that the cost was huge. Like Malaysia, Indonesian people certainly hope that the study of the transfer of central government to the state capital is really major. Moreover, the movement of capital city to the outer island of Java is more tireless and costly compared to the other countries because it is quite far and across the ocean. If realized, this will be able to encourage the acceleration of Indonesian development more broadly. At least, the concentration of development is no longer centered in Jakarta or Java Island. In addition, it will also bring about impact on the spread of more than 200 million people across Indonesia. Thus, the shortage of human resources in some areas, which has been complained as the cause of the backwardness of the region, can be immediately fulfilled. Hopefully, Indonesia and its progress are expected to be part of solution of the world problems. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. It's nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on July 13, 1949, when emergency governor Republic of Indonesia officially ended. The Emergency Government of Republic of Indonesia was established by Indonesian Republicans after the Netherlands occupied Yogyakarta in Central Java as the location of the temporary Republican capital. It was located in the city of Bukit Tinggi and led by Saprudin Prawiranegara. The Republic of Indonesian Strategic Council had prepared an emergency plan to create a government in exile in Sumatra or overseas. Mr. Saprudin Prawiranegara, the Minister of Welfare, went to Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra in preparation for his emergency plan. Before being captured by the Dutch, President Sukarno sent a telegraph message to Mr. Saprudin Prawiranegara in Bukit Tinggi, giving him a mandate to create a Republic of Indonesian government in exile, but this was not received until 1949. A similar telegram was sent to Mr. Maramis, Indonesian Minister of Finance in New Delhi, India. Based on the emergency plan after the Dutch invasion on December 22, 1948, Mr. Saprudin Prawiranegara established a government in exile called the Emergency Government Republic of Indonesia, PDRI, in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. Saprudin served as the chairman of the emergency cabinet. The leaders of the PDRI moved around West Sumatra in a plot to avoid arrest by the Dutch, who wanted to abolish the PDRI. In 1949, the PDRI government contacted the leaders of Indonesian forces in Java and six ministers of Republic of Indonesian government in Java who had escaped arrest. Based on the Rome-Riont Peace Agreement on July 13, 1949, Dutch troops were to be pulled out from the Republic of Indonesian regions and the Republic of Indonesian leaders were to be freed. The PDRI would therefore no longer be required, and Mr. Saprudin Prawiranegara disbanded the PDRI and returned to the mandate to the President of Republic Indonesia. The next event was in 1930 when People World Cup was first held. The 1930 People World Cup was the inaugural People World Cup at the World Championship for Men's National Association football teams. It took place in Uruguay from 13 July to 30 July 1930. FIFA, as a football's international governing body, selected Uruguay as host nation as the country would be celebrating the centenary of its first constitution, and Uruguay national football team had successfully retained their football title at the 1928 Summer Olympics. All matches were played at the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo, the majority of the Estadio Centenario, which was built for the tournament. In the final, host and the pre-tournament favorites Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2 in front of a crowd of 93,000 people and became the first nation to win the World Cup. Well, listener, the last event was in 2000 when Vietnam and the United States signed the Barter Trade Agreement. Vietnam has long war history with the United States after the war normalization of relations between the two countries carried out 2 years after the America led Vietnam. On July 13, 2000, Vietnam and the United States signed a Barter Trade Agreement, which was then confirmed on December 10, 2001. This was marked by the exchange of formal letters of agreement between the two sides. Through the trade agreement, U.S. export to Vietnam increased subtly. The United States becomes the largest market for the export of Vietnam in just over 2 years after the implementation of the Barter Trade Agreement. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmanan.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. This is our rival service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia to host Ministerial Meeting of ASEAN Sport and Youth. Indonesia, in regard to the Minister of Youth and Sport, is appointed as a meeting of ministers in charge of youth in ASEAN and ASEAN partner countries in Jakarta on 17th of July. Acting Deputy for Youth Development of Youth and Sport Ministry, Tony Martisa, said in Jakarta on Monday that in addition to ASEAN member countries, this meeting will also invite representatives from Japan, South Korea, and China. Johnny Mardishal said this is a biennial meeting that will address various issues of youth development, especially in Southeast Asia and Asian partner countries. This meeting is the 10th ASEAN ministerial meeting on youth and 6th ASEAN Plus 3 ministerial meeting on youth. is the implication of agreement of 12th ASEAN Summit Cebu Declaration towards one caring and sharing community in 1992. Johnny further said that this meeting is planned to be opened directly by Minister of Sport and Youth Imam Nahrawi. The organizing committee expects that this meeting can be attended by President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Johnny also explained that this meeting will take the tune of proliferating youth entrepreneurship and fostering youth entrepreneurship in ASEAN community. In addition to inviting Minister of ASEAN member countries, the meeting will also invite youth representatives. He said each country would send 4 youth representatives. In addition to participating in the meeting, the youth will also perform activities that has been programmed. They will follow the ASEAN Youth Expo, the ASEAN Youth Day Meeting, the ASEAN Award, and the Tayo ASEAN Award. In the meantime, Minister Imam will also hold a separate meeting with ministers from Japan, South Korea, and China. Johnny Martisal added that for Indonesian representatives, Indonesian youth play a very important role in the meeting that raises the importance of the role of youth of young entrepreneurs in competing in ASEAN economic community. Listener, that was Focus Day. Thanks for listening.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites all cooperatives to re-inflame the spirit of the cooperative movement on the commemoration of the 70th National Cooperative Day in 2017. In 2018, development in the border areas will focus on social infrastructure, which include the construction of community health centers, traditional markets, and school buildings. Sanur develops to be one of the favorite destinations in Bali. The tourism destination is projected to be an object with an upper-middle market share. The Indonesian Weekend to be held at Portersfield Park, London, England on July 22nd and 23rd, 2017. The event, which aims to introduce Indonesia's tourism, cultural and culinary destination, was held for the first time in 2016 and successfully attracted more than 30,000 visitors from 50 countries. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that the country's economic growth is sound and hence is worth boasting. ASEAN will need to invest 1% of its gross domestic product, GDP, annually into renewable energy capacity to reach its 23% target. The Surabaya City Administration is exploring cooperation with the Turkish government in economic and construction sector. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the Kataga dance. Stay tuned. Listener, on July 6th, there has been going on a 1,001 sandalwood horse parade in Waibakwa town, central Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara province. The parade event was opened with Kataga dance performance. The dance was exhibited by approximately 100 dancers consisting of junior high school students, both boys and girls, from a number of schools in Waibakwa town, the capital of central Sumba Regency. The Kataga dance is one of the most famous traditional dances in East Nusa Tenggara, especially West Sumba. The dance is usually performed at various traditional events, welcoming guests, as well as cultural performances. Listener, Kataga dance is usually played by at least 8 male dancers wearing Sumba typical costumes. In the show, the dancers are divided into two groups that describes the two camps fighting each other. Accompanied by a fast music accompaniment, the dancers dancing while shouting a distinctive sound that make the show getting more festive. The dance movements are dominated by swinging, by swords, and the jumping legs movement followed by body movements such as avoiding attacks. Kataga dance movement is fairly difficult, so that only trained people can do it. Listener, Kataga dance comes from the word taga, which gets the prefix ka, meaning let's cut or mari kita pancung. In another sense, kataga also means taking into account of the strength of the opponent and where is the position of the opponent. From the origin of this word, it is clear that kataga is a kind of war dance and this is seen in every movement. The dance has an artistic, philosophical and historical values.
The artistic value is seen from the dancers' movement, which is a blend of dance art and wartime art of Sumba people. During the show, Kataga dance is accompanied by some gong instruments with fast rhythm. There are also the sound of the dancers shouting, the clapping of shield, and the clattering of a small bell mounted in a dancer's bodies. All of these sounds are also arranged and aligned by accompanying music, resulting a mixture of distinctive sound. During the performance, the dancers are usually used traditional clothes of Sumbanese people. The dancers usually use t-shirt and shorts on the inside and distinctive white clothes on the outside. The dancers also use a different color headbands for each group, completed with swords and artificial shields for dancing. Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic the Kataga dance from East Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition of Miscellany, we are going to bring you Solo Batik Carnival. Listener, Solo is one of the cities in Central Java. The city is known as the batik producers in Indonesia. Compared with another city that also produces batik, Solo batik has typical processing characteristic with brownish color, and it has free color space. Because it is distinctive cultural product of Solo, batik continues to be preserved by Solo city government. One of them is Solo Batik Carnival, which this year, it is the 10th implementation. Solo Batik Carnival is an annual carnival by using batik as main material of the costume. The participants will make the carnival costume by predetermining themes. They will wear their own costume and walk at catwalk on Jalan Selamat Riyadi. Solo Batik Carnival 2017 is theme Astamurti Kawijayan, which means glory symbol. Besides the main theme, the carnival also carried 5 sub-themes. They are Sekar Jagat, Wayang, Topeng Panji, Legenda, Mustika Jawa Dwipa, and Jatayu or Garuda. The last theme is this year's mascot. The 5 sub-themes will be a main character in every costume performed. For example, Panji character with virtuous will use as blue as the dominant color combined with parang barong batik pattern and medium-sized machete. For legend costume with the theme Queen of the South Coast or Ratu Pantai Selatan will use green as the dominant color. There are also Mustika Jawa Dwipa which characterize Borobudur temple and typical lamp of the palace. Wayang costume is characterized with Werkudoro, Pandawa, Sinta and Rama, and Nanoman. It also performed Garuda character or Jatayu, who is gallant. The route
of 10th Solo Batik Carnival is Jalan Bayangkara, Jalan Slamet Riyadi, Vastenburg Fortress. 80 of 305 carnival participants are invited as guests from Jember Fashion Carnival and Cirebon Caruban Carnival. The opening will be attended by the Minister of Tourism, Arif Yahya, next July 15. Before performing the costume and carnival, all participants must do 12 times workshop to finalize the costume and choreographer to be performed. With the workshop, the participants who wear their costumes are expected to animate the character that they perform. Besides the main event, there is also SBC exhibition event for 3 days at Vastenburg Fortress Complex from July 14 to 16, 2017. Listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic Solo Batik Carnival. I'm Nika Kusumawati. We'll meet again next week in another Miscellany. Sampai jumpa!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to Indonesian popular singer, Syahrini, who is also a big screen star. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sesuatu by Syahrini. Happy listening.
Kau melihatku sampai terdengar bunyi dakduk-dakduk detak jantungku. Kau rayu aku sampai aku jadi malu. Kau sentuh aku sampai gemetar tubuh dari rambut sampai ujung kaki. Aku terpaku merasakan sesuatu. Dipelukanmu agar aku rindu. Sentuhan itu membuat diriku membayangkan sesuatu.
Just listened to the sweet number of Sahrini entitled Sesuatu. Listener, each people has something, whether it is something memorable or something that tells the story of human life to reach the goal or desire. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kau Yang Memilih by Sahrini. Happy listening.
Seperi ini yang aku minta, tulus hatimu, bukankah curangi aku? Rasa yang ada di dalam ada
mereka tahu saat hatiku luluh kepadamu, kau pergi dengan kisah yang lalu dan ku simpan di ketulusan hati.
Syahrini started her career in Indonesian pop music industry with Recycle the Songs, which ever been popularized by the late Alda Risma entitled Aku Tak Biasa. And since then, slowly but surely, her career began to rise to the entertainment world in the country. Syahrini often appeared on the big screen. Not only her career became the main topic of news, but also her personal life. Syahrini has also a duet with Anang Hermansyah, but their duet album did not much received by the music lovers to color pop music in the country, such with Anang's duet with Krisdayanti, an Indonesian diva. Well, listener, let's listen to the last presentation of song entitled Kau Tak Punya Hati by Syahrini. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.